Last year at our seminary here at Concordia, a transition was made. We no longer have the Foreign Mission Society, but it was decided, it was voted on by the Concordia Student Association to change it and make it a student responsibility as part of the association, and that the program would be implemented, guided by a World Missions Council, including the 110 plan chairman, as well as the other officers. I think you probably are all aware of the 110 plan, which is probably one of the earliest efforts by one of our synod schools to bring the consciousness of missions into personal contact with the students. The students in this 110 plan support two or three vicars in foreign fields. We think it's very important that this be as it is, because in the past, missions at our seminary, as I think probably a lot of other seminaries and schools, has been a separatistic fringe interest as far as the students are concerned. The students figure, if someone wants to be interested in missions, that's all right with me, but I'm not going to be. It's like some people are interested in photography. It's a nice thing if you like it, but nothing that's too awfully vital for everyone. And as we know, the world mission of the church is vital for each and every student. So, instead of trying to have the larger programs and attracting people from the outside, which is a fine thing, of course, we have felt it very vital that we hit the students and that we include the students and the professors, the whole seminary family, in the mission program here at the seminary. So, with this one malady, we think that there is another malady that needs repair, and that is that we feel that our preparation sometimes in the classes is too one-sided. In giving for missions, in the publicity for giving for missions, we always say, well, all the money doesn't go directly for missions, but a lot of it is for the education of missionaries in our student school. Well, this is fine, and we are very, very grateful for education, but we think that there could have been more in the classroom, in the warp and woof of our class activity that prepared us for mission. The assumption seemed to be so much, well, when you're in your parish in Iowa, when you meet your church council in New York, when you're making your contacts, when you're starting a new mission in California, and very few words specifically for someone who might be interested or someone who might be going into world mission. We feel that there wasn't, that our theology was is too academic and not enough mission directed. So we feel that directions which can be taken, which ought to be taken at the seminary are this. Number one, that each man should be prepared to be a missionary, a world missionary, no matter if he happens to be a pastor on this continent or if he's across the sea. Every man a missionary. And secondly, those who are do ultimately receive a call to be a foreign missionary, that they are better prepared. There are several things that ought to be taken into consideration, because a man who is going to make such a large transition ought to find out earlier than 2 months before he leaves that he's going to leave. I think things like the choice of a wife. My wife saw this on my feet here and smiled. I smiled back. It seems to me that a man ought to think about missions before he chooses a wife, because I think this is going to have some effect. Secondly, I think his considerations of material things are important. When the calls came out, some of the conversation, we're not throwing stones, but some of the conversation as it centers upon, what are you getting? I'm getting this kind of a house, and we're getting a car, $55 a month. This kind of a talk. It's unconscious as it comes out, but it's very indicative. And thirdly, we think that a direction missions ought to take at our school, we think there ought to be more theological respectability for missions, so that there is more study, more good, honest study in missions, rather than it being merely an enthusiastic public relations affair. The world missions of the church, as Father Filippo said, is hard work and it takes study. In order to meet some of these needs, we had what was called a World Mission Day, really a couple of them at the seminary this year. We had a couple of, discussions led by professors, 17 professors, and we had a mission variety program. We want to keep away from the parochial type of a presentation of missions. We want to try and bridge interest to make it a world evangelistic, vital presentation. Thank you.
Well, I'm just going to give you an idea here what we do have. Understand this. Professor Danker's mention this is to bring out what the seminary presents. First of all, say this can echo some of the failures that possibly St. Louis has here, and also at the same time Springfield has the same deficiencies. But we do have things that do prepare a person for a foreign call. So some of those things. First of all, probably the only thing that we have in the way of classes, I regret, is a history of missions, which gives all the students some background on various fields, the work that's been done, and the work that is being done. And in connection with this particular class, always an emphasis on the the passion for souls, and I think that is the first of all the main objective of a missionary. And along with this class, films are presented on various denominations, mission emphasis. Speakers are engaged. For instance, this last year had Pastor Berk there, and a speaker of that caliber and of that such sincerity goes a long, long way in emphasizing missions and bringing it to a person's conscience. And I think you could consider that professor's feat for probably 16 semesters and, well, 1 hour of talk like that can probably accomplish much more. And then, too, along with, say, that one class that's only directed toward missions, professors, like Professor Peterson, who's on the mission board in his classes, in his exegetical courses, time and time again brings this foreign mission angle in. And I think that all the fellows in our class, we're small enough to meet in one classroom. There's just about 52 of us, or just 52 or 53 that graduated this year. I think is made to feel that every person is a missionary and that everyone would, although they feel that they aren't capable, and I myself don't either for a foreign call, yet I think the majority would always accept one, and I'm sure they would here too. But that stress is made by professors in general, and in particular by a certain few. But do say that do feel a failure in our classes, stresses at Springfield, that a person, a student, isn't really made aware of the purpose and plan of missions, like this business of indigenous church. Although you hear about it, yet you are not made aware of it. And I think a person should be, and not come in contact with its first time here mission school. So there definitely are some failures, and I'm sure that St. Louis here is probably the one area in which they are ahead of Springfield, and that's that they have a man here at the head of the mission department who's been in the foreign field, which would, I'm sure, goes a long way in putting the mission emphasis before the students. And then we have, of course, a mission library that has books in it and being added to each year, news from the field and whatnot, which also is available to the students in research and in just plain browsing around. And then besides classes, some of the activities on campus that are projected toward missionary activity. We have a society on campus called the Winnicott Mission Society, although its primary purpose is to serve hospitals and convalescent homes around the area, yet it also each year takes a mission project. This last year we sent $2,000 to Latin America, or Brazil. Is it Brazil? Well, South America, for theological books in one of the seminary's libraries down there. And also every year a project is taken up. And this Winnicott Society also this year sponsored a play and also a type of panorama of mission work. I think it was very successful in bringing to the some 1,200 people that attended two evenings the importance of mission work and what we're trying to do and what the missionaries are trying to do in our various fields. And I think it was very good in stimulating missionary interest among the students on our campus at Springfield and also the people that were there. It was something very tangible, more tangible than, say, a speaker, because the play, which was based on our mission work in Nigeria, brought to the people, I think, very close, brought it very close to them, our work and needs over there. And then also this Winnicott Missionary Society brings in speakers, missionaries, also board members have been there, Dr. Schmidt, Dr. Kupplin have been there to speak to the student body, which also stimulates interest in foreign missions. And then also one thing is that we have, say, students on our campus that have been in foreign fields before, not there as missionaries, but as lay workers. And they do definitely stimulate interest among the students in foreign mission work. I think the two gentlemen that were responsible for this play, this Juju Tree, was presented this last year, and this whole Christ for the World program, these two men who were in Nigeria, I think, have done a lot in stimulating interest just through personal contact there on campus. And then, too, the many, many students that have been in Korea and Japan and the Korean War and First World War that are there on campus now, they, too, are Second World War, right? I always think of George over there. He always tells me he's fought the wars, you know. So he's a veteran of two wars. So, you can see how old we have, many, many old men on campus. But they do really have been around and are able to bring back to the younger fellows like myself the needs in some of these fields. And then also one other activity, the married students, the married couples club. Couples club always sponsors each year some particular mission project. This year it was sponsoring of a program, Lutheran Hour, I don't know what contributes to, but I just can't. In South America, I believe, someplace. But there is also interest in that respect. So that's about what we have at Springfield Seminary in the way of mission emphasis.
Thank you. Now let's also hear from the reporter, Leonard Neubacher. I have been away from Concordia for a year and a half, so I don't have specific information of what went on during this past year. But I will tell you about the mission activities group that they have there. I'll tell you about their organization, their work, how the information is given to the students about mission work, and where the support comes from for mission work at this school. This mission activities group is a rather informal group. It's quite large, composed of the students. You have, I'd say from 70 to 100 people in this group. Now, not everybody will come to all the meetings. Some will come maybe once a month. But quite a number of them do support and do work in the activities of the mission activities group. The organization has a set of elected officers and committees who take care of
different work that the group has to do. The work itself centers quite a bit around home missions. So you have people going out every Sunday to the Sunday schools in the local areas, teaching Sunday school, teaching Bible classes, or helping out in the Walter League work. Now, a lot of this is done in the organized congregations. Some of it is also done in little local mission congregations, which have been started by the professors up in that area, or like the church in Chicago, the one called First Emmanuel. Pat and I had a chance to work there for a couple of years. This group also does a lot of canvassing, both for, again, organized churches and for churches which are just starting. And the canvases will vary, of course. They'll either be information-type canvases, sometimes there'll be a follow-up canvas, but these all give the people and the students there a chance to do some work of this type. Some of the other projects that the MAG carries out, on every Saturday morning, a group goes down to the jail, the county jail, and the county TB hospital to teach Sunday school to people down there who want to hear them. Mr. Dale Bussey, who is out in New Guinea now, bought a station wagon especially to carry a group out to this for this project on every Saturday morning. He used that for his Sunday school work too then. And then on Sunday afternoons and Saturday afternoons, people will go out to Addison, Illinois, to the children's home out there. Now, this is more of a service project rather than mission-type work. The organization has their meetings about twice a month, and at one of these meetings every month, they will have someone there to talk to them on mission, either one of the professors at the school. Sometimes they'll hold a demonstration of how to witness to people, or how to conduct a canvas, how to knock on a door and how to get to the people there. They'll do that. Or they will have board members or people from Synod come up. Dr. Schmidt has been up there and has given slide lectures. And they also show a movie now and then. Whenever they have one that's on mission, they'll do that too. And especially they will have the returning missionaries come up. And those are always interest getters. They have a lot of people come up, and I hope that some of you will get a chance to do that at some time. I hope they invite you up there, because we always found those very interesting to see the pictures and hear directly from you people about this. Then the MAG maintains a bulletin board. Now, this is about the way the information about foreign missions gets to the students. They will put up their newsletters for missionaries, which are... At the time I was there, though, it was very limited, and I hope some of you will put Concordia Teachers College on your list. Then someone will take and cut out pictures from the Lutheran Witness and put those on the board so that it can be brought to the attention of everybody. One of the other things that brings a lot of interest is that when missionaries send a series of black and white pictures and put a caption on the back of it so it can be typed out and put underneath, and that always provides a very attractive little display, and it gets some information across to the people. Although, again, that's not organized. It depends on what comes in from the missionaries. Support for foreign missions comes from chapel collections. The religious activities group up there will designate certain chapel collections for certain mission projects. And these will ordinarily amount from anywhere from $80 to about $100 per week, and they are sent on to whatever particular mission it's designated for. In the way of classes, not the only place we get any information that's organized about our foreign missions was in one class discussing religious problems. It's a course which discusses all the different types of problems you might run into in a parish. And there we were given a booklet and given some information on foreign missions. The other course was a history course, which is the history of our American Christianity. And as it happens in all history courses, you're going to talk about something at the last part of it, but there is never enough time to really get into that last part of it. You usually cover the first part of the history, and so we miss out on it there. I wish that they would have something more organized up there at Concordia to get across our total mission picture.
Well, we've heard the three reports now. Are there any comments or questions?
the idea of trying to have a synodical someday, a synodical institute at the various institutions, the terminal schools, and hope to develop something whereby not only executives go to these various schools, but that it is integrated into the curriculum, that our students at the terminal schools learn something very different about synod, and of course also particularly about mission, all and more on the negative.
Anyone else?
Okay, I suppose about attitude of at least I don't know maybe the teeth and mean felt is true. First year at the seminary it felt a lot more when the cold came out and was hate everybody being afraid and getting informed, well not everybody, but just sort of something which was circulated around. But I would say that as it progressed and quite a bit back here, the call to the form field was greatly raised, I think. And there was a lot less fear of the form. So I think that in general, this has been picking up, especially, of course, since we have mission man on the back and I think Professor Danker. This has helped a lot the past year, even before that, then coming up quite a bit.
I'm going to underline the last thing Great Man Warren said, but the personal reaction to foreign call was greatly enhanced by the courses which I took. And Mom and Bob and I suppose there are only two of us in this particular course that I took. However, the entire class has made me feel that looked at their future vocation in the background of a foreign call. In other words, they felt if they weren't qualified, they would
any further comments? Time is moving along. The next item is the Resolutions Committee. Your Resolutions Committee met and they were very resolute in not offering any resolutions. We felt that there have been so many that have taken part in this program in this two-day conference to make it a success that to just read the list of names and thank yous would be very stereotyped, and I would suggest that we just thank ourselves and each other for a very successful and profitable 2 days and let it go at that. Now I'd like to call on Dr. Cutler for a parting word, almost a passing word.
With all the resolutions in which Missionary Stelter has had a part, I can imagine how happy he is over not having any at all at the present time. I want to say I still don't have any takers for those speaking engagements over there. We'll be waiting around after a while to see if we can get some. A bit of information that I think will be interesting to you men, if you don't have it as yet, is that the Lutheran Medical Mission Association, or rather I should say the Wheatridge Foundation with the Lutheran Medical Mission Association, is in these days planning to take pictures of the foreign installations serving TB, which means that they are sending out a team to Japan to take a picture about Hajiro, to Hong Kong at Haven of Hope Sanatorium, to India, where there's a large TB work around Umbur, and to Nigeria. While this was being planned, Concordia Publishing House, with some help from others, got the idea that perhaps it should take advantage of the opportunity to take mission pictures. And so the team that is going out now has been working with the executive for quite a while, getting background on the various fields, planning how these pictures might be taken. Besides movies, they also intend to shoot black and white so that they can be used for publicity in our various periodicals. They also want to shoot slides so that, if possible, we can have a one slide set on, or a film strip on the world mission, or that they may make slide sets on the individual mission. We are quite happy about this. It doesn't mean that they're all going to be released at one time. CPH, for its own good reasons, may space the release of these pictures, but whatever is done, we are happy that these pictures are being taken. The closing remarks that I have to make today, I will say, are endlessly different from what I had thought of them only a few days ago. If I should give a theme to it along the line that our conference ran, it would be partnership in prayer. We in the office, certainly you, I don't have to say that, I don't believe, we in the office, reading material that comes to us, the minutes, the letters, which present to us one problem after another, are very much aware of the need of prayer in our mission. Our board members also are very much aware of that, and I want to assure you that as we think of you individual missionaries, as we think of your families, as we think of your work, as we think of the Christians with whom you work, we shall certainly remember you in our prayers. We ask your prayers at this time for a very particular sort of thing. At the beginning of the board meeting this past Monday, Dr. Schmidt presented to the board something of a review on the matter of executive staffing of our office. I might say our board meetings almost traditionally begin with a period of study of some particular mission field or mission problem that is before us. We have been aware of the need of this kind of a study for some time already. If you study the history of our board, you know that Dr. Schmidt came into the board in 1940 as a second man, at the time when our church was serving only two fields, India and China, when perhaps together we had as many as 25, oh, maybe a few more than that, but that's about the size of it, missionaries on the field. Since then, the mission has grown tremendously. In 1948, Dr. Brandt retired early in the year, and I was called later on, and at that time we had just three fields. Two fields were opening about that same time, and later another two fields opened. It's true the China field closed, but today we have seven areas with which we are working. Also, the staff of approximately 60 men at that time has grown to 140. When I say men, that includes the single women, too. We think of them more as workers. Also, as you can understand, the work has become endlessly more complex. At the end of the year, I endeavor to gather together the minutes that come to us from the various fields and to bind them. And when I look at that mass of paper, I just begin to shudder to think that through the year we had to read and to endeavor to analyze that and to respond to a degree of it at any rate. But it is becoming a much more complex problem all the time. We are very happy because of this that some years ago we were able to secure the services of Mr. Erdman as business manager. That certainly has taken a lot of the details off our hands and made it possible to give better reactions to a number of situations that arise. At the same time, we have recognized that much more needs to be done. When we sent out the manual, the first copy of the manual asked for reactions from the missionaries. I must say that I was amazed at the patience that the missionary showed. I expected some of these paragraphs were going to help somebody to raise the roof, but nobody did. One missionary commented about it, and his comment was one of these, I expected some of these paragraphs were going to help somebody to raise the roof, but nobody did. One missionary commented about it, and his comment was one of these, half-humorous remarks. You look in your manual today, it isn't in there, and I'm kind of glad it isn't. One of the specifications for a missionary was that he should, with all dispatch, answer letters that he gets from the office. And this one missionary wrote back and said, well, how about the office doing the same? And he was right in a lot of different ways. You people who are business managers or conference chairmen or so, I won't even tell you who the man is. You might shake his hand too vigorously. But the simple matter is that too much material is coming in to allow time for a thorough analysis and quick answer. And beyond that, we certainly should take time to plan for the future, to determine policy and such like things. We in the office are very happy that the board has determined that during this triennium, its one cheap big job is going to be setting down policy. And as you see, the board has come along quite a ways in this already. We expect to have this done in a relatively short time now. There's another reason for studying executive staffing, because Synod has what in slang we call the Little Hoover Commission, a group of men that is studying the whole organization of Synod, the executive setup of Synod, and which is now completing its report and preparing its recommendations to Synod next year. We've learned long ago that to prophesy is dangerous, but we're pretty sure that they're going to recommend that some changes be made in the executive staffing. Our board has now appointed a committee on this executive staffing. It's made up of Professor Peterson, Pastor Martins, and Mr. Fred Kuhlman, an attorney on our board, and this is to report to the board in September, at least for its first report. Now, their work has become more immediate and more important because Dr. Schmidt, in discussing this whole matter, also brought forward the idea that because of his age, the board might very well consider his resignation, and he has offered his resignation from the position of executive secretary, suggesting that perhaps he would assume some other position upon which the board might decide. Dr. Schmidt is still executive secretary. He will continue to be that until the board takes some specific action on the recommendations that he has presented and the recommendations that come from this special committee. As you can understand, during this next period, things in the office may be somewhat in a state of flux, and we must ask for a double measure of your sympathetic understanding. Because of these developments, the board has also resolved to defer my trip to the Orient, which had been planned for this fall, feeling that we should not leave the office, more or less vacant while this matter is in discussion. You will understand then why I said before we're thinking of a partnership in prayer. Certainly, we need your prayers, this committee needs your prayers in this whole matter. The office staff needs your prayer, the whole work needs that prayer. Beyond your prayers, however, we want your very definite participation also. So that is one thing. When our manual went out and for the first time a manual from the board said something about the office setup, a number of conferences even suggested that the missionaries also have something to say, that at least they be able to make suggestions and recommendations when it comes to executive staffing. We are asking you people, if you have some suggestions or recommendations along this line, to send them to the chairman of this committee, Professor Lorman Peterson. He's at the seminary in Springfield. You can find his address in the Lutheran Annual. And in that way, you can be sure that these matters will also be discussed. As for Dr. Schmidt, I am sure that you will also give him your special thought and consideration. And I will say that we look forward to his continuing service and to his interest in mission work. We know that no matter how or if he should be separated from mission service altogether eventually, his interest would still very definitely be in this foreign mission service with which he has been connected so intimately these last 18 years. And with these things, I say, we very definitely ask for your participation, your partnership in prayer. As changes go on in your fields, you will note that changes go on here at home, too. As I was thinking of these parting words before this, I had looked upon two little words that have become some favorites of mine, shall you say, particularly since coming into this office. Out of the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, beginning there in the 16th verse, St. Paul is speaking about himself, describing his life, and as he describes the situation at Damascus that came upon him, he tells how the Lord says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and bear witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." I think for missionaries there can't be much better parting word, a word sending some of you out to your fields, you're going out very shortly, a word to accompany others of you as you're on your furlough and then return to your work. And so, in closing, to use another word of the Apostle Paul, "Now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified."